Hello, good morning. This is not Pastor Joseph Parker, but I consider myself one of his spiritual daughters, so we're family. This is Victory Hollyfield. I am Victory Hollyfield, and that was Pete the Prayer Pup. Man, I am just so thrilled to be with you all this morning. I hope you're excited because we got a word from the Lord, and I hope you're ready. You may even start shouting. And if you're driving, I need you to keep your composure a little bit because you're driving, or maybe you're in the bed right now. But either way, we're going to be talking about the birth of Christ, and I am joined by one of my very dear friends. And I don't say this just to say it. I mean it when I say she's definitely a dear friend, a sister in the Lord, the one and only Kendra White is
Amen.
In the house.
Amen. You always make me smile, Victory.
Stay home.
You do.
I love you. I really do. One thing I've said to my husband, I said that God has always blessed me with women of God in my life who love the Lord and constantly bring me to point me to Christ. Amen. And I appreciate that. You do that for me, and
I
appreciate that.
You give it right back.
Also, Rick, thank you, our producer, Rick. I got to give a shout out to Brother Rick. Thank you for joining us as well.
Good to be here.
He's got a cool voice, y'all. Y'all should listen to him on AFR. He does music. I don't know what days, though, Rick. Look, that's sad. I'm trying to give you a shout out.
Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
All
Central.
Right. Look, there you're we welcome. Go. Rick, look. Little publicity right there.
Oh,
you're
there
welcome.
We go.
But we're so excited, guys. We're going to be talking about the historical event of the birth of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I want to say historical because I don't want to say story anymore because there are some
fake makes people
story.
Think it's a fable
or a
sweet little like nursery rhyme.
Come on. And it's more than that. Mm-hmm. This is the birth.
It happened.
Come on.
Changed the entire course of human history.
Yes. If Jesus would not have came, y'all, we would all be in hell right now. And so I want to call it this the historical event of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. But before we get into that, the main emphasis is going to be the beauty of women within the story of Christ. Mm, I love it.
And how God uses them.
Yes. And I think in today's society, you know, one thing that we got this feminist movement.
Mm-hmm.
They want equal rights with men. I know somebody may be listening because I do believe that there are Christian women who are also getting infused in it or being it's rubbing off on them. Mm-hmm. This feminist movement, it is not biblical. There is beauty in a gentle and quiet spirit of a woman and a praying woman.
And yet there are also people in other countries where women are belittled or lessened for being women.
Yeah.
And when we look at the example of scripture, we see how highly the Lord values and uses women. And I mean, how much more beautifully. We're getting ready to celebrate Hanukkah, right?
Yeah.
And Hanukkah, Jesus celebrated. It's a Jewish festival, but it has to deal with lights and kindling the lights. And one of the things in all of the Jewish festivals, the woman is always the one to light the candles. And it's because the light of the world came through a woman.
Come
God
on.
Used a woman to bring Jesus, which what a great honor. And who were the very first people to witness the greatest miracle of the history of the world, which is the resurrection of Jesus?
Oh, the women.
The women at the tomb again.
Oh,
and you know, even in that culture, the testimony of a woman didn't hold up in court as much as it did man culturally.
Mm-hmm.
But yet God placed value on women and allowed them to be used in those ways. And obviously men are valuable too.
Yeah.
He values both to such a wonderful extent.
You're right. Look, y'all, this is what I love about Kendra White. She is a theologian. I really do think you're
a theologian.
That is a podcast, by the way, which is really good.
They're awesome.
Yeah, they're good. And I love how you're so good at giving the background history of that, because you're right. I think, and I've heard some people say, you know, when I read the scriptures, I've heard people talk about how, why did God always use men? But he did use women.
Yes.
And that's why I really wanted to point that out in the birth of Christ on today's show, because we are valuable.
Amen.
We really are. But you're right. Men are as well. But I really want to pinpoint women, because God, he didn't make a mistake when he told us to submit to our husbands.
Amen.
He didn't make a mistake when he had them to be the leaders. Because listen, I'll never forget. I think it was Abraham Hamilton III. Then we're going to get to this. We're going to be led by the Spirit, y'all. Just hear it. He was talking about how the Greek meaning for wife is the same meaning of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Do you know it?
Theologian? Yes.
What is that word?
Okay, so he's our helper.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same word used to describe the Holy Spirit, I think it's azer.
Come on.
And it means helper. And, you know, I had to struggle with that, because when I would read, oh, I'm supposed to be the helper, to me it felt like
a slave.
Well, it felt like the concession prize. You know, like okay, you're not qualified to be the real thing, so you're going to be the helper. Like, you know.
I feel you. Yeah.
Like, you know when you deal in kids ministry and they're like, can I do it? And you're like, no, you're going to mess it up, but you can be my helper. Like, that's how I viewed it, you know?
And I like that.
The Lord got me one day when he revealed that very same thing to me, that this is the same word I use to describe the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Which is an equal member of the Trinity. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are equal. And the Lord, it shows you how valuable that word helper is to him uses it to describe, you know, a member of the Trinity.
Y'all, this is how we talk. Anytime I'm talking to Ken, she get me excited. And I have to really try to keep my composure. Because, girl, and when we think about the Holy Ghost, what did Jesus say? I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you a comforter.
Yes.
Ladies, y'all better understand our role is powerful. It is so valuable. Like, it is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world does not know nor receive, but you know him. Listen, we are such, it is an honor. I'm now, because we're both married. We're both newlyweds. Mm-hmm. I still say we're newlyweds. What's the newlyweds, like, year?
Well, I think we're on the end of it, but
I'm 3 in, she's 2 in, but I still think we're kind of the newlywed.
I'll claim it. Still very, very much in love and always will be.
Amen. It's a covenant for life. But one thing in the beginning, I was like, man, I'm just, help me. I gotta help him.
Yes.
But the Lord, thank God for the Holy Spirit, has helped me to see it is an honor to serve my husband as unto the Lord.
And it's not a weak thing to be a helper.
Come on.
And the word is also used, Azer is also used to describe God in the Old Testament.
Come on, Kendra.
When he is running and rushing into battle to the aid of his people when they are in dire need. So,
Kendra.
Yeah. So, like, I get the picture of, I'm going to use a little nerd reference here, Lord of the Rings, when you've got Gandalf running, he comes up this hill.
Look,
like, they're all like,
getting circular.
Like, it's about to be destroyed. And he comes riding up on this hill on a horse, and it's like he's coming with aid and with power with resources. And, like, that's who God is for us. Those times when we're like in desperate need and we call to him for help and he swoops in to help us with power and with his mighty strong arm.
Jesus!
So I think with women, sometimes helper, we associate it with weakness. But meekness is not weakness, as Candace Cameron Bure has said. You know, it's a humble spirit, but it's a strength that empowers and helps in a situation.
Amen. Woo! Lord, I'm trying to stay calm. And look, I want us to be led by the Lord, because I had a particular order, but I believe the Lord wants us to go here. And so we're just going to keep following the Holy Spirit. That was powerful, what you just said. And that analogy, you went circular, but I got it.
Sorry. That's where my mind goes. I think in movies, like movie plots all the time.
But it was powerful. Like, I love it. Like, we as women, I read a book once. It said, it's called The Power of a Praying Wife. It said that my prayers are more powerful than my husband's mama prayers.
Amen.
Like, when we become
one,
we're one flesh.
Right.
We're one flesh. And women, when I think about women who were women of prayer, God-fearing women, I think about Hannah. That sister, she was praying for that baby. Mm. And when I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and it's near the end, you remember, she went there at the... Where Eli
temple.
Was. The temple. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Kendra. At the temple. And Eli thought she was drunk. She was pouring out her heart.
Yes.
Like, we as women, y'all, we play such a vital role in the life of our husbands and our children. And I also think about 1 Peter 3. You know what I mean? Maybe you're a wife right now and you're like, God didn't give me a God-fearing husband and I'm struggling. Listen, if you know the Lord, you are in a good place. Anything that causes you to need God more is a blessing. Nancy Lee DeMoss told me that. It's a blessing. And so, see, instead of you seeing as, I got to carry this burden of, I'm trying to, you know, help my marriage. Daddy, God, look, God has, you are, what's that A word again for the Holy Spirit, for wife?
Oh, the Azer.
Azer. You are an Azer. You are a helper.
So now, don't quote me if I'm pronouncing it right.
It's okay. We can ask Abraham Hamilton III. He always quoted the Greek words. No, I got you. Oh, man, 5 minutes already. Thank you, Red. But I'm thoroughly enjoying. You are an Azer. You have your prayers are powerful. You need to repent. Maybe there's some sins you've been doing, whatever it is. Make sure you're in right standing with the Lord so that he can hear your prayers. But you pray for that husband.
And that story that you shared about her, she was at the temple and she was praying. So there was a need in her that wasn't being met in her life, but rather than sitting at home and griping and complaining about what she needed, she went to the source of God to be her whatever, whatever she needed. And we're going to have that in another story that we're talking about today, not a Hannah, but an Anna.
Come on.
Who also was at the temple.
Yeah.
And she's connected to the story of the birth of Christ.
Amen.
And that stood out to me. I read it earlier today. I didn't remember this part, but this Anna, she was a widow. She was with her husband. husband yes. for 7 years.
And then he died.
And then he passed away. My and until goodness. She was 83, 84.
80-something?
In her 80s, she was a widow. Yeah. And it says that she was constantly 84. At the temple and fasting and praying. And so, you know, I think it's so easy for us as women to look to other things to meet our fulfillment, our children, our spouse. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful example of this woman who, she had a right to be bitter. You yeah. know, after 7 years, she lost her husband. She could have turned that against the Lord and said, how dare you do this to me? But yet we see her at the temple.
Come on.
Fasting and praying. And what is she looking for? She's not looking for God to give her a new husband and a new family or
come
a resurrection.
Kendra.
She's looking for the Messiah to come. She's putting all of her eggs in one basket. And that yes, is sister. For the consolation of Israel to come back.
Amen.
The hope of the Messiah, of Jesus, of God to send them a Savior.
Amen.
And she's waiting. And man, there's something for us as women to learn about waiting on God.
Come on. And they that wait upon the Lord, he will amen. Renew your strength. Y'all, I promise we're going to get into the story. Let's hit it a little bit. Luke chapter 1. I wanted to hit in the area, starting in verse 5. Kendra, do you mind reading to
I'd be
verse
happy to.
5 through 8?
Okay. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and when he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the customs of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense.
I think we still got some more time. Could you go on? Go on
and when
going.
The time for the burning of the incense came, and all the assembled worshipers were praying outside, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John."
Amen. Keep going. Go on to verse 19.
He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient. Obedient to the wisdom of the righteous,
Jesus.
To make ready a people Jesus. Prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news."
Oh, can we read that one last verse,
yes,
20?
Ma'am.
I'm so sorry.
"And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time."
Can I just say this? You need to do recordings for audiobooks.
I just love the stories,
you are
man.
So
I just
good.
Love the stories. I can see them in my head like a movie.
And it is. It's like the best movie ever. Amen. And just what I love about this, because we're almost coming to a break, y'all, and we're going to get back on it. What came out to me, verse 6, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were righteous in
yes.
God's eyes.
And yet they couldn't have children.
Come.
But they were righteous.
They trusted the Lord. Come
but
on,
they
Kendra.
Were righteous.
That'll preach, sister.
Amen.
That'll preach. You know, and I don't know all the intricate background story of Elizabeth, y'all. That's the music interrupting me. We're going to be right back. I am so thrilled for this, y'all. This is Victory Hollyfield filling in for Pastor Parker, joined by my beautiful sister co-hosting with me, Kendra White. We'll be right back. Y'all, it is hard for me to fade a song, especially when it's my jam. That was Todd Dulaney with Your Great Name. King, jeez. Me and my mama was singing this song yesterday in the car. We were getting our praise on. My husband, he's an introvert. No offense to introverts, Rick. No offense. No offense. I love him. We need each other. And my honey bunny be just be like, babe, you just be getting your praise on. Oh, I forgot. He told me he don't like me saying honey bunny on the air. Just honey. I forgot. I'm sorry. He's my honey bunny, though. And anyway, my mom and I was getting our praise on yesterday in the car to that song, Your Great Name. Y'all, there is so much power in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you. Maybe, and you know what? We forget about this sometimes. This is a season, the Christmas season. I don't want to say no holidays. Christmas. It's about Jesus. Where some people are down, depressed, you know, may have lost some loved ones. I know that there's been a struggle, but I do pray that this today's program will encourage you and have an excitement about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think one thing that the Lord is helping me to do, and I'm still growing in this, and that is to have an eternal perspective.
Yes.
The things that we go through here in this life is temporary. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Help me out.
Temporary. You got it.
Thank you. Thank you. My husband's always telling me, babe, you got to work on your words. And so, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say. I'm going to own it. I'm going to own it. But it's temporary. It is our eternal state. We have to keep in mind that there is such beauty in the life that is to come. And that here on this earth, the trials and tribulations, God didn't leave us blinded now. Jesus told us, in this life, you will face tests and trials, but be of good cheer. Why? Because he overcame the world.
Amen.
And that's why I love the story of the birth of Christ, because we couldn't have overcame the world if he wasn't born into the world.
Amen.
Amen.
To be the Prince of Peace. How do you have peace unless he comes to bring you peace?
Come on.
Good.
Theologian over there. Theologian, y'all. She need a book. I love how Kendra was just finished. Last segment. She was reading Luke chapter 1 and Zechariah and Elizabeth. I just wanted to pinpoint something that we're going to continue on in the historical event of Christ's birth. You know, Gabriel shut Zechariah's mouth. And my study Bible, it made a pretty interesting note, because he questioned Gabriel. He questioned what God said. There was doubt in Zechariah. I'm sure because he was older.
Yeah.
They hadn't had kids all these years. He's probably like, it's just been me and Elizabeth. What's going on? You know, like, but here comes an angel. Now, in my mind, reading this, I'm like, wait a minute. How an angel? And it said he was inert. You know, there was fear when the
right.
Gabriel came. How dare he question him? But I don't know how.
Well, and I don't think the problem here is that we have questions for God, but it's the spirit in which we ask the question, right? Because, if you have a kid that asks you, you know, what are you doing, Mom? Oh, honey, I'm making this thing, you know, or Mom, what are you doing? You know,
ooh,
same question,
that tone.
Different tone, different thing in your heart. So if Zachariah is like, how can I be sure of this? He's wanting proof, and there's doubt. And so I think what we're supposed to draw attention to is, do you believe that God is able to accomplish the impossible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Zechariah asking for proof of this. How can I be sure of this? He's looking at the practical, and he's focusing on the problem and not the faith in God.
Come on, Kendra. I'm going to keep calling you theologian, sister. I love
sweet.
That. I love how you expounded on that. Because I love your voice. We're going to move on along to the next woman and the historical event of the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1, guys, we're still there. If you could start verse 26 through 36.
Yes, ma'am. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and will give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Mm-hmm. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
Oh, glory.
"Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail."
Hallelujah!
I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Come on. I'm trying to stay calm here. Y'all, I'm just so excited. I've been in my prayer closet a little bit more lately. So that's why I'm just excited. I've been asking the Lord, Lord, help me never to take this historical event lightly.
Right.
That it may it always be an excitement.
Yes.
Glory to God. Y'all, women, y'all better know we vital. We are vital.
And birth stories are always exciting. You know, like how many kids ask their mom, like, tell me again, what happened on the day I was born? And that when you think of it in that terms, it was a very real event that happened. Like Mary probably had morning sickness. Like all of a sudden the humanity of Christ side becomes very real to us.
Amen. Amen. Oh my God. Can you imagine though seeing an angel? I would be just... My breath, of course, anyone's breath would be taken away, but Gabriel at that.
Terrifying. It would be terrifying.
That too. I love this story, y'all.
So you made a comparison off air earlier about between Zachariah's approach and Mary's approach to seeing an angel. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can expound on that a little bit.
Yeah.
Teach us.
And Mary.
Theologian Jade.
I don't know about all that. But Mary, hers was more, like, I love how you distinguish about tones. It's all about, you know, the position of your heart. Hers was more of wondering, like, I'm a virgin. I'm engaged to Joseph. Mm. You know what? Do you ever think about Joseph? He was a stepdaddy to Jesus.
Yeah, wow.
I would have been intimidated. Like, he's no comparison to God. You know what I mean? Like, man, he got a better daddy than me. God.
And what a rough situation to have to marry someone who the public looks on as, oh, what have you guys been doing?
Yeah.
You know, either they look negatively on Mary or on Joseph or both. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scandal involved in a small town of Nazareth with a young girl, a Jewish girl getting pregnant.
But what did Joseph do? He covered his wife.
Amen.
Come on, the position of a wife. Maybe you're listening right now and you're like, man, my husband didn't do that. Pray for him. Do you know, I heard a lady years ago, I was at a church and there's this lady and I was single. And I would observe things, and I just always noticed the prayer warriors seem to be women. I always noticed the ones that were constantly, you know, fighting in war and prayer, and their prayer calls were women. I was like, where are the men when God says they're supposed to be the leaders? This lady said to me, an older woman, wise woman, y'all, she said, well, Victory, that's why you got to pray for them. Yeah. The enemy attacks them more because he knows they're the head.
That's true. He knows very they're the
head. True. Somebody may be like, what this got to do with the birth of Christ? Look, we're just expounding. You're being led by the Holy Spirit. And I just want y'all to know the power of a God-fearing woman. I want to keep going in the story because I love when the Holy Spirit comes upon John the Baptist. Because Mary and Elizabeth, we got to keep this in mind. They were cousins. Is that right? I thought that's what
correct.
I read. They were cousins. So Jesus and John the Baptist were kinfolk.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. But John the Baptist is older than Jesus because keep in mind, Elizabeth was further along in her pregnancy. Kendra, because I love your voice. Luke chapter 1. Can we go to verse 39? And let's go to verse 44.
Okay. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy.
Come on.
Blessed is she who has believed we're going to try this again because I love this verse.
Me
it's
too.
One of my favorites. Oh, I got excited. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.
Kendra, he said in Jeremiah, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 1. I can't remember the exact verse. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. He had already prophesied this in the Old Testament, y'all. And did you notice this when I read this? I get excited too. When the Holy Spirit, look what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, keep this in mind, before Jesus, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in them. He would come upon Saul, came upon David.
And then leave, right?
And leave, yes. But when you come to Christ now,
amen.
Y'all better hear me.
Amen.
The day of Pentecost, it's like, he comes upon you. It's like dunamis power.
He stays. He's not leaving. He's going to be with you forever.
Jesus.
And this is pretty cool, too, to know that the Holy Spirit can touch a child in the womb.
Kendra.
Do not underestimate Kendra. Someone because they are young and how the Lord can use them. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Before he was conceived.
Before he was even born. And he was just in his mama's belly. Come and on. He got excited
then
around
when he
the
jumped,
presence
then his
of
mama
Jesus.
Got it.
Yes.
His mama then got it. Come on, Kendra. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost.
Can you know, I yeah. highlight just one little on, phrase Kendra. That Mary said? Because yes, this sister. One gets me. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mm. And that is so powerful when you allow the Lord to inconvenience you. Because I don't think it was convenient for Mary, a virgin, to become pregnant when she wasn't even married. Wow. I'm sure practically this put a kink in the plans
yeah.
for her marriage.
Yeah.
She's planning her wedding. She's engaged to Joseph to be married. And yet she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. When you have that response to God,
yeah.
There's a beauty when he chooses to use you. It comes with a sacrifice.
Come on, Kendra.
You know, sometimes, and we're going to see that even later with Mary, a sacrifice of seeing your only child, you know, your son that the Lord gave you. Well, not her only son. She had children later through Joseph. But to see him killed on yeah. a cross. And we'll talk about that, I think, later. But
I love how you brought that up.
What a sacrifice yeah. that Mary was willing to make from the very beginning. And I think that's why she was highly favored. The Lord knew that her response wouldn't be, I didn't sign up for all of this. She was like, wherever you're going,
yeah.
whatever you're doing, I'm in.
I got
I'm
a question
in.
For you, Kendra. For someone who may be listening and what you just shared about Mary, how she was willing to be inconvenienced, how can one get to that point in their
ooh,
walk with the Lord?
Ooh, that's good. Well, Mary has a song that she sings after the Lord comes to her, and she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. This is the next one, 26 and 27.
Come on, give it to us.
So after this happens with Mary and Elizabeth, she just bursts out in song.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will read what she prays, I think that will tell you what things were in her heart to position her to be obedient to the
Lord.
Could
you read it?
I would
I like
love
your
to.
Voice for it.
All right. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble.
Mm-hmm.
He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty.
Glory to God.
He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And I think we see from that a couple things that Mary got right. One, she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. If you don't rejoice at God being your Savior, you are missing the point of Christianity.
Come on.
No matter how inconvenienced we are, we can always rejoice in the fact that Jesus came and he saved us. And so
amen.
I think Mary, despite, she's not thinking about all of the practical things of how am I going to give birth? I'm poor. I don't have money for a baby. We didn't save up for this. I'm not even married.
What are people going to think?
Yeah. She's not worried about all of that. She's rejoicing in God, her Savior, and his sufficiency. Mm-hmm. To take care of her. And then we look throughout here and she talks about the power of God, the power of his arm. So she trusts fully in God to provide for her under these crazy circumstances.
Come on, Kendra.
She trusts that, so Rome, right, was conquering them, and Nazareth, the people there were being taxed ridiculously. Later we see that they had to go to Bethlehem, Joseph. They had to make an expensive, costly trip for people that were poor. It hurts our budget when we got to plan just a little trip, you know?
Right.
So
right.
In the face of complete poverty, to have to plan a trip and go down to Bethlehem and all of that. But yet she says that he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He helps the hungry and fills them.
Mm-hmm.
The rich he sends away empty.
Hallelujah.
So she has the perspective that Rome is not the one that's ultimately in control and sitting on the throne. It is God.
God.
Woo. So that perspective will take you places, friend.
Come on, Kendra White. Lord have mercy. Lord. Y'all, I was thinking of something. Maybe you're in it, we're Mary is singing. Verse 46, how my soul praises the Lord. Mm. Maybe it's hard for you to praise the Lord right now, but let me tell you, I want you to think about all the things God has brought you through.
Yes.
But then I want you to take away, then after you do that for a little bit, then I want you to think about who God is.
Yes.
Maybe you're listening, because that's the thing, we need to get to a place. Oh man, no way. Y'all, will be right back after the break. Oh, this is Hour of Intercession, Victory Hollyfield with my beautiful sister Kendra White. We'll be right back. Y'all, that is our girl, Mandiza. That sister did that song. I love how she changed it up. That was Mandiza.
You could jump in there
board.
With backup, though. Girl, you were moving in here. I saw it.
I told it's hard
the
for
music
me.
Video.
Man, it's hard for me to, like, because I want us to continue, but also yeah. I love good jams.
Yeah.
I love good jams, and that's one of my favorites by Mandiza, the drummer boy, y'all. Jeez, y'all, keep this in mind. If you hear somebody say happy holidays, I want you to come back and say Merry Christmas. Do it. It's about Jesus, y'all. It is about Jesus, not about, yeah. But I was really interrupted by the music to go to a commercial break.
Not you, Rick. The
yeah.
music.
Oh, it's Rick's
it was
fault.
Not your fault.
It was Rick's fault. No, I thank God for you, Rick. What I was trying to say. Is, you know, maybe this is a time Kendra was so beautifully, Kendra White, which I did not even say what you do, y'all, but I'm sure you've heard her for so many times. You should know. She works for American Family Studios. She's a producer, a director.
Yes, ma'am.
A wife, a daughter.
We wear lots of different hats,
yes,
as do you.
You do a lot. Yeah, you do a lot. You were talking about Mary singing to the Lord in Luke chapter 1. And there was a part where Mary says, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. And what I was saying was, maybe this is a time where you're like, man, it's hard for me to praise the Lord. You know, maybe you lost a loved one during this pandemic. Maybe you lost a loved one just, I don't know, years ago. But I'm trying to stop saying holiday season, but the Christmas season can be a little challenging. And you're probably like, how can I rejoice at this time? Listen, the way you can do it, and it's not going to come easy. It's not going to be easy. Going to get those tears out. It's okay to cry. Man, that's strength. People who try to hold it in, they make me a little nervous. They're the ones that blow up stuff. No, you let that out and you cry your heart out to the Lord. And I'm reminded of Psalms chapter 126. This was actually in my devotion this morning. I'm going to try not to shout, y'all. Here we go. 126 verse 5. It says, those who plant in tears. Another translation says, those who sow in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Do you hear, like, y'all, there was, like, the reason why in 1 Samuel chapter 1, when Hannah was praying for that baby, and at the end, after she poured her heart out, like, she was in anguish. Like, there was, it was heavy on her. Maybe it's heavy on you right now. Like, I lost my mom. I lost my spouse. Whatever. You poured that out to God Almighty, who is so good and loves you so, so much. Because when you finish pouring it out, remember, at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 1, near the end, after Hannah finished praying and Eli thought she was drunk and he found out she wasn't drunk, she was able to go eat and the sadness left her.
Amen.
Now, it may take more than one time going before the Lord, but you keep doing it because he wants us to have joy. Why? Where is your joy coming from? The Lord. Why do you have joy? Because that for you to have breath in your lungs, that means you still have purpose to fulfill for his glory. Keep this in mind. We are on this earth to fulfill God's purpose, not our own. You know, marriage, children, those things are good and nice. There's a time and place for that. But ultimately, we are to glorify God. Maybe you are a worker at Walmart. Glorify God when you checking people out. Give them a smile. You could pull that mask down if you don't. You know what I mean? And just say Merry Christmas. Be a blessing to someone.
Jade, what you just said was really powerful. I think some people read these passages and they hear, if you want a baby, you go to the temple and you pray and you get one. Like ka-ching, ka-ching. Right. You know, like I'm this is how that. It works. That's not what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're saying you bring your every desire and the things that you're afraid to even speak because you want them. So you bring that to the Lord, but you make your soul sufficiency in Christ and he gives Amen. You a peace. And whether or not he grants that request or not, you have all that you need in him. And these women coming to the temple, coming to God, we see that faith
Amen.
In them.
Amen. Y'all, because he is sufficient. He really is. Is it sufficient or efficient?
But he's efficient he's at both. Being sufficient.
Help me out, sister. Help me out. Amen. He is. He is enough, y'all. I'm telling you. I want to continue on Kendra White and her beautiful voice, y'all. I just love when she reads the scriptures. We're going to go over into Luke chapter 2, guys, because we got to speed this along. But we're definitely going to have part 2. She's going to be back. And we're going to go
verse 25?
Verse 25 of chapter 2. We're going to continue on in the story. Go for it.
All right. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. Ooh, Simeon and Prophet Anna.
I love this story. And people forget to tell the story when they talk about the you know, because we think of the nativity scene and it's like he's born and we run out of time.
Right.
Everybody got to get home, you know?
Right.
But I love this aspect of the story. We see these a man and a woman who believed God and were eagerly waiting for the Messiah's Amen. Arrival. Just beautiful. And I love, since we're focusing on women, we'll focus on
You can talk about Simeon
Anna.
Too, though. Simeon was cool, too.
They were. But, both of them. The reason my heart is drawn to Anna is just thinking of her being a widow and coming to the temple, putting all her eggs in one basket, praying, fasting, seeking God. No, Lord, we need your Messiah. Yeah. We need your son. Send us to him. That is where her hope was. Mm-hmm. And it's just a beautiful story. And I just picture her holding baby Jesus with tears in her eye that he has arrived.
He's here.
Oh, what a powerful
Talk about
powerful
being
message.
In love with God and that God is all that you want. God is all that you need. That only happens by spending time with him, getting to know him. And how do you get to know the Lord? In his word. Mm-hmm. That's how you get to know his character. And like I was sharing with you yesterday, I'm going through the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He is so holy and righteous. There were individuals that dropped dead when they sinned in his in the Ark of the Covenant, in his temple, because he's so holy. And it just makes me reverence the Lord more, because he's the same God, but he loved me so much because he knows he's so holy that we needed an advocate. And that's why he sent Jesus.
Yes.
And because now when he looks at me, he sees Christ. Mm. And I am his beloved. I am in his family. And so I bring that, all that up to just say, God is amazing. Mm-hmm. He is enough. Anna had a heart towards the Lord because apparently she had a personal relationship with him.
And can we go back to Mary for just a minute?
Go
because,
for it.
All right. So in this crazy moment where this man you have never met comes up to you, you just have a baby and you're just there to have him circumcised at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit reveals to that man that the baby that you're holding is the Son of God.
Come on.
So
come on.
Joseph and Mary, they just come up and this random stranger comes up and starts prophesying over their child.
Mm-hmm.
And he's prophesying that your son is going to be great. But it's good things he's prophesying, but it's also would be very scary from a mother's perspective. Your son is going to divide nations,
mm-hmm.
but yet he's going to be a light to Gentiles and to the Jewish people. And then he goes on and he says this one thing that always stands out to me. He looks straight at Mary and he says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." What do you think that's talking about, Miss Victory?
Okay, look at theologian, put me on the spot.
What you think?
I always think about, we were sharing this yesterday, is Matthew chapter 19. Oh my goodness. How Christ said, "I came to not bring peace on earth, but a sword," to put a mother against a daughter, a father against a son. And what he's referring to is, and can we go there real quick?
Sure.
We got time. Matthew chapter 19.
Yeah, the word of God is described as a sword, and it penetrates our hearts, dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The word of God can cut to your heart.
Come
and
on, you better have that verse memorized. Come on. I think I'm in the wrong. Is it Matthew 19?
But I know what you're talking about. He talks about how Jesus will come and he will be he will divide families because some will believe in him and his message and others will not. And that's what the Spirit of God does.
Man, I wish I could find him.
You pretty much quoted it almost perfect.
Yeah,
you really did.
But that's what I believe he means. A sword will pierce your very soul.
Mm.
That's what I think.
So maybe when she was growing up, I mean, can you imagine the conviction of having a son who is God, you know, like I know children can sometimes convict you anyways when they say little things,
but they're little sinners
too.
Face
angry,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, but here now Jesus is
perfect,
actually the Son of God, you know, and so to have that, I think that would be convicting. I always, maybe this is just me, but I think about the moment when she was at the foot of the cross and looking up on her son whom they had pierced, and the same hands that she cuddled as a little baby and counted the fingers and toes now have nails in them.
Mm.
And I have never had a child, but I've heard from some parents who have lost a child that it's the most painful thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so I cannot imagine the grief that she would feel of, well, the Lord promised me that he was going to be the Messiah, and I thought he was going to come and bring peace to the earth, and this did not work out how I maybe thought everything was going to happen, and the confusion and the pain. And then there's that moment on the cross where Jesus looks over to John and says, this is now your mother. You know, take care of her. Watch after my mom because I won't be here. This is now your family. And so, you know, I just think there's the message in there for us because we think of Mary as the chosen one, and a lot of times at Christmas we think, you know, and it says, for generation to generation we'll call her blessed. And yet, sometimes following God is hard.
It is hard,
and
girl.
It's painful,
sure,
and it's
going
to cost you something. And she was blessed among all nations because of the way that the Lord used her.
Mm-hmm.
But for anyone who is thinking that a life with Christ is a promised just
prosperity.
Yes.
Everything's going to be good.
Easy,
no struggle.
No harm will
that
come
is a
to
lie.
You. Look at the life of Mary.
Okay. Even John 16:33 is where Jesus said, "In this life you will face tests and trials, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." It is inevitable, but it is through the trials that we grow in him.
Amen.
That we learn to depend on him.
Amen.
Kendra, because it's almost time, I would love for you to take time to pray for people that are listening. And specifically those who may be struggling during this Christmas season, they've lost a loved one or going through some hardship in their marriage or a job. Maybe they lost their job. Can you pray for their encouragement?
Father God, we just thank you that you are our sufficiency and you are our all.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I thank you, as I believe it's the book of Hebrews says, that you anoint us with the oil of joy.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I ask for those that are struggling with joy this season to lean fully upon you, mm-hmm. Lord, that they would say, as the psalmist David said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God and bless the Lord, O my soul, that their soul would bless you, even as Mary blessed you,
yes,
when she didn't know how things were going to work out, that you would rise up a song of joy in their hearts. And
yes,
as they praise you, that you would give them hope to move forward this holiday season.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
We're going to be back.
Yeah,
we?
We're going to do this again. We're going to do a part two
we
tomorrow.
We had so much fun.
Yes, we do.
We're coming back for more.
I love you, Kindred. Thank you so much. Seriously. I really do hope that today's episode is just penetrating in your heart, mm. and that it stirs up a desire, a hunger and thirst for more of God's word, y'all. Take time to do it. I'm telling you, we cannot make it in this life without Jesus. And thank God for the historical event of his birth, because now we have an advocate. Y'all, this is an exciting time. It really is. Thank you so much, Kendra White.
Appreciate it. I'll
tomorrow,
see you tomorrow.
For sure. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Pete the pup. Prayer pup. Victory Hollyfield here, guys. We will be right back with you tomorrow. Until then, spend time in God's word. Love you. God bless you. And Merry Christmas.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.